music, news, information. Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
I'm speaking with Senator Éan O'Riordan from the Labour Party for Dublin Bay North. Good morning, Senator.
Morning.
You're supporting injecting centres in Dublin. Why?
Well, when I was appointed Minister for the National Drug Strategy in 2015, one of the first meetings I would have had was with the Anna Liffey Project. And they had a conference at that time with a number of different groups and agencies who were supporting the idea of having a medically supervised injecting centre in Dublin to tackle the issue of street injecting. And they had speakers at this seminar from the guards, from Dublin City Council, from business groups who were all advocating trying to do something about the street injecting issue that we have in Dublin City Centre in particular. And this isn't a new idea that they have just come up with themselves. Centres like this are all across Europe. There's about 90 injecting rooms across Europe in different countries. There's one in Australia as well. And the idea is that in order to tackle the issue of people who have chaotic drug issues, chaotic heroin dependency and addiction, who would go in behind skips or dumpsters or playgrounds or parks or wherever, that they would have a place to go to where they could be supervised, where they're less likely to contract disease like hepatitis C or HIV, and less likely to overdose. Now, we do have the third highest overdose rate in Europe. There are young people, and not so young people, literally dying on the streets on a regular basis. In the article I wrote for the Northside People, which I see you have there, I mentioned two cases there last March. One of the cases was a young man who was found dead in Connolly Station from an overdose in a toilet. Now, these instances happen quite regularly, but they don't make the newspapers necessarily because on some level people think it's their own fault. We have to start saving these lives. We have to start thinking differently about it. I know some people might be uncomfortable with the idea of the state or the HSE or whoever facilitating people injecting heroin into themselves, but they're injecting heroin into themselves anyway. And this would be the first step that they could take on the road to recovery, rather than doing it on the street corner or in open view or in a public place, that there would be somewhere compassionate, safer from harm that they could go to engage in the behaviour that they're engaging in anyway, and they won't die. Nobody has ever died of an overdose in an injecting centre anywhere across Europe. So fundamentally what we're trying to do is on one level to save lives, but also to clean up the streets in Dublin City Centre of the syringes that everybody sees and all the drug paraphernalia that goes with it.
Okay, well, 2015 was when you proposed this.
Yeah.
We're now in the beginning. This is January 2017. Why, and it has been approved. Why is it taking so long to implement the proposal, and where is the first centre envisaged to be?
Well, the Cabinet passed the proposal in December 2015. So it was the very end of 2015. Since then, we had an election. We had, I think, about 60 days of no government. And then Minister Catherine Byrne would have been appointed just before the summer. So we did have a piece of legislation before the summer, the Misuse of Drugs Act. It didn't have the injecting centre piece in it. That was a disappointment. But I've been told and promised that in the next number of weeks, the injecting centre legislation will come up before the Oireachtas and then be passed. What happens then is that once it's passed, and I'm quite sure it will be, because in fairness to every political party, there's support for this right across the political spectrum in the Dáil and the Shannon. There are very few voices who are opposed to it. What would happen then is that the minister would have the ability to give a license to somebody to run a centre. So I think there are some interested parties. I know Merchants Quay are interested. Somewhere like that I think would make sense. Somewhere which has a long history of dealing with people in addiction. Somewhere that the guards are used to policing. That has a dynamic about it that people are used to. So you have to have the centre where the problem is. So a city centre location would make an awful lot of sense.
Well, we're talking about an initial first centre, but I'm sure there would be others proposed if this one gets the green light and it starts working.
Well, it's because you're dealing with such a dangerous issue and a dangerous substance, you want to make sure you get it right. The worst thing to do is to set one up or set a few of them up and then something goes wrong or we hadn't thought of something. The first one's going to be in Dublin City Centre. There are advocates for this in Cork who are crying out for a centre to be opened there. I'd imagine we will allow, or the government will allow, this centre to bed down to make sure that everything is done right, to ensure that this new venture is successful before rolling it out to other cities. But I do know that, particularly in Cork, when I was minister, a lot of people were contacting me from there saying that it was something that they really needed for their heroin problem. Just to emphasise the fact, this isn't a solution at all. This is just one part of a jigsaw of measures that need to be brought in to help tackle the drug problem. There are many different reasons why people fall into addiction. This is just one measure that we can take perhaps to have a more humane approach to the issue that we have.
Yeah, well, I'm sure, I mean, at this stage, Dublin City Centre, which is the one place I'm aware of being from here and living here, you can see the problem. It's visible on the streets, and something really needs to be done to tackle it. And from a tourist perspective alone, I mean, it can't be something that tourists want to watch when they're in Dublin's fair city. From the perspective of the people who are injecting themselves, it's not the most hygienic thing to do, to be, like, as you pointed out, injecting drugs behind a bin, for example, or down a dirty laneway. It's not a humane way.
You mentioned tourism there. I mean, the businesses, the retail community are very much in favour of this as well, because they see the problem, they see the issue, and they want this stuff to be cleaned up. Even those who work for Dublin City Council who clean those laneways, they come across the discarded syringes, but they also come across the excrement because... your body reacts in a particular way when you inject heroin. There can be withdrawal symptoms, and one of those can be your bowels collapsing, and that's essentially what they have to clean up. So it's a pretty unsavory situation that we have in the city centre. But I think we have to be realistic about it, and that's why when the government proceeds with this, that we want to be in a position to support them.
Okay, can I ask you, we're not hearing about the problem so much in the media, but I've just looking at the 1980s, Buckingham Street, that area, epidemic, huge numbers of young people dying from drugs overdoses. It's not at that level, Eoin, is it?
Well, we do have a huge overdose issue. We have a higher number of people dying from drug overdoses now than we have dying on the roads. Now, the problem is the type of person who is dying of an overdose doesn't make the news. And also, there isn't the same level of a public outcry, because often the families of somebody who dies of an overdose feel that there's a level of shame attached to it, a level of stigma attached to it. If you have a son or daughter or somebody that you love who died of an overdose, it's not something necessarily that people feel comfortable speaking loudly about. What I found fascinating when I was proposing this as minister at the time was that people would approach me in the street or quietly tip me on the shoulder in a supermarket or somewhere quiet where they felt they could actually speak to me and say, thanks so much for what you're doing. My son died of an overdose or my brother died of an overdose. But they wouldn't necessarily say it out loud. They wouldn't say it in public, because there's still that stigma and shame attached to it. So I think that's part of the problem. We can't tackle it because people feel so ashamed of it. Because on some level, if you hear, and I make this point, and I don't necessarily want to play one vulnerable case up against another, but if we hear of somebody have died overnight in the street, a homeless person, you know, our hearts go out and the public reacts and the political system reacts in the way that they're outraged by it, and absolutely justifiably so. But if we hear of somebody has died of an overdose, there isn't the same outrage, because I think somewhere in our psyche or the back of our minds, we feel that this person has done this to themselves, that it's their own fault. And we have to change that, because if somebody has a chronic heroin addiction, they are sick, they are unwell. And blaming them or attaching shame or stigma to them is not going to help them or their families. And I think that's part of the reason why when I say that we have three over the third highest overdose rate in Europe, people don't necessarily believe me. When I also say that we have two fatal overdoses of alcohol a week, people don't believe me either. 100 people in Ireland die every year from drinking so much that they die. Not that drinking so much that they fall in front of a car, drinking so much that they that their system collapses and they die. But I think we're pretty good in Ireland at facing up to some social issues, but there's ones like this, like heroin. We think if we just keep going down the road of saying just say no or zero tolerance or all these other sort of outdated slogans that it's going to work, and it hasn't worked and it isn't worked. And also, sorry for going on a bit, but there's also if a young student dies from taking a pill, there tends to be a kind of a media reaction of that the life she could have led, you know, she was big into she had her legal career ahead of her, or she had all this support and a terrible life and potential loss. We hear about that young person, but we don't necessarily hear about the life or the potential of the heroin addict who overdosed. And there's a bit of a class thing there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's something that I'm very uncomfortable too.
Yeah. Okay. I'm wondering about the. I've written down the word heroin and a question mark. I didn't know that the heroin situation was as bad as it is, because and you just pointed out, people are not talking about it in public. It's more a tip on the shoulder and a whisper in the ear. Can I just move on to the recent seizure of nearly 40 million euros worth of herbal cannabis in Dublin Port just this very weekend? I'm wondering, is that just one shipment that was detected amongst lots of others that get through? Can I just point out to you, if I just want to, focus on the cannabis issue for a moment, there are parts of inner city Dublin, north inner city Dublin, where you can walk through them, and I've done so recently, where you can smell hash on the air. And I met one of my sisters recently, and she said, all the time in this area. It's so pronounced that we just walk through it now. Young guys standing in front of shops and on corners in daylight, in the morning time, smoking hash. This problem is colossal now. I'm wondering, is there a case, and we can't get into it at this moment in time, Aon, it's too big, we'd be here all day. Is there a case for legalising that sort of, it was considered a soft drug, but now that there's so many different grades of it, like skunk and all that sort of stuff, and there's psychotics in it, I'm wondering, is there a case for legalising drugs at this point in time?
The first question you asked about the seizure, I mean, I believe, or I'm told, about 90%, only about 10% of what comes into the country is ever seized. So 90% goes undetected. And the internet has changed a lot of the way this stuff comes into the country. So, and trends change, fashions change. You know, Zopaclone is where people are now, benzos, that kind of thing. You can get 10 people in a room who deal with the drug issue every day and they have 10 different points of view. Some people say that they advocated for legalization of cannabis 10 years ago, but now the stuff is much more potent and dangerous than before. You add that with benzo use and alcohol use and you really are dealing with a very, very difficult problem. The debate internationally has moved on. It's not just across Europe, but in certain states of America where they've legalized it in order to get control of it and take the money out of the drug gangs. I mean, if you buy something on a street corner or from or wherever you buy it, an illegal drug, you're buying it from a criminal enterprise, and their job is to get you more sucked in, get you more addicted, and you know, sometimes young people, they begin to deal a little bit and then it gets out of control and then they have a drug debt and that gets doubled and tripled. And that drug debt thing is a big issue in this area, because I've met families and mothers who will say that their young person, 20 years of age, €5,000 of a drug debt that it just happened before they knew it, and then they had to go down the credit union and get money out to pay the individual who came to their door with a gun. I mean, this is a serious problem. Should it be legalized? I don't know. I mean, I think that debate is happening. We had a bill in the Dáil recently about medical use of cannabis. Father Peter McVerry says that if you had to choose between banning cannabis or alcohol, he'd ban alcohol, because there's an awful lot more damage. Mm-hmm. It breaks up families. People become violent with it. Yeah. It costs a huge amount of money over the course of the state. I think, though, it's worth having a discussion as to where people are getting this stuff from, who they're buying it off, and what the role the state has in keeping people safe. If they're going to use it anyway, do we have is it a conversation that we should be having? They're having the conversation everywhere else in the world. I think we should have it here as well. I would advocate for decriminalization of the individual at this point, not the drugs. And what I mean by that is that in Portugal, they've kept every single illicit drug illegal, including cannabis. But what they've done is that if you're caught in possession of them, you're not automatically given a criminal sentence or automatically a criminal offence. You're treated as somebody with an addiction or a drug use issue that can be helped and supported. So when we talk about decriminalisation, which I would support, it's not about decriminalising drugs. They would still remain illegal. But I think we should deal with the people who use them in a very different way. They don't belong in courtrooms. It's a complete waste of time. Again, Peter McVerry told me a story a number of months ago. He was in the courtroom with a young man who had a conviction for possession of cannabis to the worth of €2. Now, that is a complete and utter waste of everybody's time. Yeah. So I think the debate thankfully has begun, but where it goes to will take an awful lot of maybe convincing not just the political system but the wider public, because sometimes actually, and I think in terms of this issue, the political parties may be a little bit ahead of the public on this issue, because I was happy to see when the submissions went into the National Drug Strategy, every single party, Fianna Fáil, the Green Party, Sinn Féin, People Before Profit, all of them had moved to a position of having a more humane approach to this issue rather than the tough-talking sort of just say no mantra of the past. I think the political system is moving the right way, but I hope people will see the sense in maybe a different approach.
Okay, well, the whole thing, the debate's never going to go away until there are some resolutions to it way down the road, I'd imagine. Can I just ask you, when is the forced injecting centre meant to open? It's this year sometime.
Well, yeah, as I say, the cabinet passed in 2015. Obviously, the election and the formation of government delayed things. I'm told that the legislation is coming in front of the House in the next couple of weeks. If that happens, well then, the license should be the minister should be in the position to grant the license in the summertime, and then hopefully by the end of the year you'd have the first centre. It's needed, and it'll save lives, and hopefully when it is proven to be successful, we'll have more.
Okay, Senator Ian O'Riordan, thanks very much for coming in today.
Thanks for
having me. Thank you.